حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد. The moon for the month of Muharram has been sighted. The foundation has been laid. The anticipation of those who believe has come to a fruition, and now the time for those who are lovers is there to express their love. This is the month of Muharram, and it is not just a month that is the first month of the Islamic calendar, but it is more than just a month. It is more than just a time. And we see that it is actually a school, an institution that has been established. And when we look at it and we see the stand of truth and the stand for what is right, and the stand for justice, it is accompanied by opposition, by vehement animosity, by those who despise the truth and who despise justice. And in this regard, we see that there are these 2 months in the Islamic calendar that are not just a period of time, but they're actually an institution of learning. One is the month of Ramadan, the other is the month of Muharram. And these two, and whoever is trained in these two, you will see that they have the foundation in them to make themselves stand up for right and go through the hardships that come with standing up for what is right and for what is the truth. This is the reason why when nation stood up for practicing the law of Allah, they were bombarded in 2 ways. One was through an embargo, an economic boycott, And the other was with an imposed war. Through the embargo, they had to go through the hardship of hunger. And in the war, they had to go through the hardship of struggle and sacrifice. And when the leader of the nation was asked, "How are you going to go through this phase of hardships that are coming in twofold? One, through the attack on the economy and embargo, and the other, an imposed war." So the leader of the nation replied back and said that we are a nation that has gone through two schools of learning, through two institutions. One is the school of Ramadan and the other is the school of Muharram. And that's why you see that the leader, Imam Khomeini, made it clear that whether you bring us an embargo on our economy and make us go hungry, we learn the lesson of hunger through Ramadan, or whether you impose a war on us and take our lives, we learn the lesson of sacrifice through Muharram. And we go through these two schools so that we can have that inbuilt character that helps us to stand for truth and justice. And any school, anyone who goes through these 2 months, you see, they are going through that learning by which they build their character so that they can stand for the truth. Those who do not go through the month of Muharram, they haven't learned the lesson of sacrifice. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And hence, my brothers and sisters, this is a month for which every imam and even the prophets used to wait for. It is a month that every lover of Ahlul Bayt anticipates. And hence, we also have now come in this month and on this night. And remember that more than we who wait for this moon to come so that we can start remembering our Imam, much more than us, this moon is anticipated by the Imam of our time, who waits for this moon, and every year he joins us in the mourning of his grandfather. So as we are mourning, and as we will cry, and as we will share our grief with the grief of the Prophet and his household, our Imam is with us, as is that mother of Hussein who has wished for those who will mourn and who will cry for her child. And this Ashura, this movement of Imam, is something that really has a message of not only Islam, but in all the history of the prophets up to Imam Hussein, and all the history of the Imams up to Imam Hussein, there was never a time or a place, never a time or a place where the truth had become more clear than on the day of Ashura. And this reflection, this mirror, this reflection we give to humanity so that they can also see what the truth is as opposed to falsehood, what good is as opposed to evil. Nowhere else has it become so clear, and hence when we look back at it, we see ourselves in the image of truth as opposed to falsehood and good as opposed to evil. Truly, no other time and place has it been so clear. And hence, this is that message we give, that the Islam that is given to us by Allah, the message that has been given to us by Allah, that has been given to us by the Prophet, this is that Islam. This is that Islam that has been given. Because you see, there were two lines of thought that came after the death of the Prophet. Until he was there, it was the nucleus. He was the nucleus, and hence all Islam came back to him. But then there were two lines that were created, two paths that were created after that. And you see, the result of both of these paths came down to a culmination in Karbala. Came down to that. And nothing has made it clear than to see these two, and so distinct from one another, that no one can deny that this is that or that is this. In the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, you see that there was confusion as to who is right. I mean, to us, we look back at history, it's easy to say, yes, Ali was right. But to live in those days and to see both sides practicing Islam, praying, fasting, speaking about Allah, then you're wondering which masjid is right, the masjid of Ali or the masjid of Muawiyah. I mean, which one is right? People were confused. Companions of the Prophet were confused. Maybe a lot of them were not confused. They just saw that it was serving their own interest to be on the other side. But whatever the case was, the confusion was there. In the time of Imam Hassan, also the confusion was there. And hence, it had to be decided, all right, if these people are claiming that they are right, and these people are claiming they are right, then where does this end? Who is right? Well, both of these lines came down to one point, one reference in history. And that reference became the book by which both these paths will be judged. And that reference point was Karbala. That reference point was Karbala. On one side, you see, the path that came down was that of the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. And what was that path? That was shown, not spoken, but shown by Imam Hussein. And that too, you know, he, on his way to Karbala, I'm just giving an introduction here to Muharram. You know, I've gone doing something. You know, on his way to Karbala, he knew that Hur was behind him and wanted to block his way. So what Imam Hussein did is that he told his people at one of the stops, because the highways run through stops where there was water for drinking for the different travelers. Imam Hussein at one stop said, get all the water you can and fill every bag you have with water. Every container have with water. He ordered his people. They filled it. And then Imam Hussein, he went off the highway. He went off the highway and took a longer route that is away from the main highway where water is found. And Hur's army was behind him. And they were not prepared for this. And so when it came around, and Imam Hussein knew that these people are, Hur's job was to arrest him, to block him until further orders come down. So now when Imam Hussein went the longer route, these people came behind him, they had no water. And it came to a point where the men of Hur were so thirsty that they were beginning to feel delusional. And a time came when they were so parched that they needed a way out. So Imam Hussein then told his people that now the water that I had asked you to fill in your containers, give that water to the people of Hur, to Hur and his people. And the water was given. And he even ordered that even their animals be fed and they quench their thirst. You see, what is Imam Hussein doing? He is trying to portray a message. He's trying to give the description of the message that Allah sent through the Prophet. That this is the enemy that wants to block me, this is the enemy that wants to arrest me and wants to stop me from doing what I, as the Imam that is appointed by Allah, wants to do. This is the enemy that's stopping me from doing that. So now, with that enemy, I am responding to them and replying to what they intend to do with me by giving them water and saving their lives. And giving them the energy to arrest me. Giving them the water that is giving them the strength to block me. This is how you deal with those who are opposing. This is one Islam that came down. And this is an image of one Islam. Now the other Islam that came down, that Islam and its image was captured in the same avenue and in the same respect. That image was captured when Hussein came out with his infant son to ask for water. When Hussein came out with his child asking for water and said, this child has done you no harm. This child doesn't mean any ill to you or harm to you. This child bears no ill will to you. Give him water so that he can live. That he can go on with his life. You see, on one hand, that image of Islam, that Islam came down where you give water to the enemies. And on the other hand, that Islam came down where even if a child is dying, do not give him water but kill him with an arrow. Understand this. This is the distinction that happened in Karbala. Imam Hussein made Islam and what is not Islam so clear in Karbala. That no one can have a doubt. You cannot say both of these are Islam. Accept the fact that one of it is Islam and the other is not Islam. So when you accept what is Islam, then also accept where it's coming from. And if you accept that this is not Islam, accept the fact that where it's coming from is also wrong. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Understand this. Islam became clear, and what is Islam became clear in Karbala. That's why when we speak from the member, and this member is the member of the Prophet. This member is the member of the Prophet. That's why it's called member. If the message that we are giving is not the right message, then this is not a member. Member is only when the message of truth is being given, when the message of Ahlul Bayt is being given. That is called a member. Otherwise, in the words of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, when he had asked permission from Yazid to speak on that pulpit that he had, he said, would you allow me to go on these pieces of wood so I can talk? He didn't call it a member, he called it pieces of wood. You see, the difference is that because that structure is not used to spread the message of truth. What is used to spread the message of truth, that is called a member. This is why when we say this is the member, it comes with responsibility. It's a trust that has been given to us by the Imam so that we can make, that we can fulfill that trust and we can make sure that this member is always being used in the right way. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And this is the reason, historically, this member has been the place, the source of knowledge, the source of truth, the source of justice that has come down through history so that we can learn from this place. And this is why the subject of these 10 days would also be Islam and understanding Islam and Islamic ideology. So that we know what is Islam and how we can understand Islam. What is Islam? Because there are many versions and many ways of understanding it. There is a way that is correct and there are many that are incorrect. We need to know how to understand Islam and what is the ways of understanding Islam. For today, as a introduction, just I will say this ayat that I've recited for you, in the Dina, in the Allah al-Islam, in Surah Ali Imran, ayat number 19, and you will hear this every day. So for those people who want to do their own research, I'm giving you these references, so you can go back and look at these verses and see and research it yourself as I'm saying this. Allah says in this ayat, in the Dina, Inda Allah al-Islam. Surely the religion in the Allah, near Allah, al-Islam is Islam. The verse is in the meaning that Islam is the religion of Allah. And you see the Arabic, you see that the real sentence in this verse is in the Dina al-Islam. In the law, meaning near Allah, is called Jumla Mu'taraza. Jumla Mu'taraza is something that's in between a sentence that does not have anything to do with the basis of the meaning of the sentence. Like for example, I said, the man who was tall is here. Now, who was tall has nothing to do with the sentence, meaning the man is here. That's the main sentence. So when you look at the verse, the meaning of this verse, as has been mistranslated in many places, where it says that Islam is the religion that Allah chose or is pleased with, and the way it's translated, it gives the meaning that Islam, amongst all the other religions, is the religion that Allah likes. But the meaning here is no. In the Dina al-Islam, he says, religion is Islam. The true meaning is, Deen is Islam, and Islam is Deen. In other words, there is no Deen that Allah regards as religion. The only religion that He regards as Deen is called Islam. This ayat is very plain and clear. And as for today, this is what most of my youngsters should understand. Islam is the deen that Allah regards as deen. There's no other deen that Allah even regards as deen. All other religions that we call religions are religions that are man-made and have nothing to do with Allah. They have their own things, and we will go through that as we go into this ayat. But the only thing I'll mention today is that there are other places in the Quran where Allah speaks about choosing Islam as a religion. And I just want you to understand where Allah has said this and what is the meaning of this. Inshallah, you will get that if you send me a salawat. There are three places in the whole of Quran where Allah speaks about choosing a religion or liking a religion, being pleased with a religion. And if you see these three places, Allah has a message in it for us, so that if we can understand the wisdom of Allah, we will understand the message itself. The first place Allah speaks about the fact that He chose Islam as a religion is in the time of Ibrahim and Yaqub. He says, وَوَصَى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَاقُوبُ. And Ibrahim and Yaqub made wasiyat, made a will and enjoined their children. Ya baniya, O my children, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. Allah has chosen for you a religion. Allah has chosen for you a religion. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. اصْطَفَى means to choose. He has chosen for you a religion. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So do not die until you are a Muslim. Now, here, obviously, this ayat itself, where Allah, He speaks about this, has many morals and wisdoms within itself. The advice that Allah Himself is giving and the prophets are giving in the Quran, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. This is actually a order, a command. Allah is saying, or the Anbiya are saying, do not die unless you are a Muslim. So now, in order to understand this advice, we need to really look at it as to what they are trying to say. You see, this advice could be understood. Really, the only way it could be understood is if death was in our hands. Allah is saying, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. Do not die. Allah, death is not in our hands. Death is not in our hands. How do we know? I mean, you are telling us not to die until we are Muslims. I mean, if death was in our hands, then we would live our lives the way we want to. And when the time comes that we have nothing more to live for and all our wishes and dreams are filled, then we will say, all right, it's time for us to die. Let us become Muslims, right? And let's die. But we see that's not the case. Right? Or it could be understood if we knew when we are going to die. Meaning, if I know that I'm going to die in 60 years, then I will live my life and live them to my wishes and dreams for 59 years. And in the last year when I'm going to die, I know I'll die in 60. So, right before I die, I say, Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim now. And I die. You see, when Allah is saying and commanding, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. Do not die. So what does He mean? Ya Allah, how are You commanding us not to die when death is not in our hands, nor do we know when we are going to die? If death was in our hands, Your advice could be understood. If we knew when we were going to die, your advice could be understood. But you see how Allah is saying something so eloquently, and how the prophets and the messengers are giving a message in such an eloquent way to make us understand one point, that listen, we know that death is not in your hands, and we know that you do not know when you're going to die. So what do we mean when we say do not die until you are a Muslim? It means that yes, you can die any moment. Death can come to us any moment. So if death comes to us in 60 years, we should be Muslim. If death comes to us in 10 years, or 5 years, or 1 year, it could come any moment. Next second it could come. We don't know, we are in this majlis and we sit here and we can die. We can go outside and we can die. Death can come any moment. So what do you mean when you say, do not die until you're a Muslim? Allah is saying, understand what I'm saying and understand the eloquence by which I'm giving this advice. He's saying, do not die until you're a Muslim. Even though our death can come any moment, what Allah and the messengers are trying to say is that you be a Muslim every moment of your life, so that when death comes to you, you know you will die as a Muslim. You see, do not put off your Islam for tomorrow because you don't know tomorrow is going to come. Be a Muslim on this day in the present so that when you die, you know you died submitting to Allah and not submitting to Shaitan. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. But in this ayat, all I want you to understand is Allah and His Messenger are saying, إِنَّ اللَّهِ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينِ. Allah has chosen for you a religion. And the word Allah is using is istafa. Just remember this. The word istafa means to choose. And now, we go to the next ayat, where Allah speaks about being pleased with or choosing a religion. And the next place Allah uses it is in the verse that all of you believers know. Because this is the verse that, if you don't know any other verse in the Quran, those who are mu'min always memorize this verse, because they hear it so many times. And this is the second place where Allah is speaking about being pleased with a religion. And there He's saying, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. He says on the day of Ghadir that today I have perfected for you your deen, and I have completed on you my favors, my bounties. وَرَضِيْتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. رَضِيْتُ means that I am pleased with. I am pleased with Islam as a religion for you. This is the second place Allah is speaking about choosing or being pleased with a religion. And this is on the day of Ghadir. And the word He is using is Ridha. Ridha means to be pleased with something. You see, in the time of the prophets, that word was Istafa. In Ghadir, that word became Ridha for Islam. Now the third place Allah speaks about choosing or being pleased with a religion. Allah says, and He's making a promise to those who believe, وَعْدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لِيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. This is a promise He is making to those who believe. This is in Surah Nur. A promise He is making to those who believe and do good deeds, that He will establish them in the land just like He has established those before them. وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لُهُمْ. And He will establish the religion that He has chosen for them. Again, وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ الَّذِي اِرْتَضَى لَهُمْ. He will establish the religion that he has chosen. And here the word he is using is irtida. You see this? Irtida. And this ayat is about the future, where Allah will establish Islam in the land. And Islam will be made the religion of the whole of humanity. So now you see one time where Allah speaks about Islam and choosing Islam is in the time of the prophets. The next time he speaks about it is in Ghadir. The third time he speaks about it is in the promise he is making to establish Islam in the future. Three times he says about choosing a religion in relationship to Islam. Three times in the Quran, and you can read the whole Quran. Three times he said this. One time in the time of the Prophet, and the word there he used is istafa. And when it came to Ghadir, that word changed to Ridha. And after Ghadir, that word became irtada. Now brothers, understand this. Three times he said this, and I explained these three times to you where he said this. Now let me put it together so it can make sense to us. If you see the word changing, the nucleus of this whole line of movement is Ghadir. The nucleus of this whole line of movement is Ghadir. Before Ghadir, Allah is using a word to describe Islam. After Ghadir, He is using a word to describe Islam. Before Ghadir, in the time of the prophets, He is saying, the deen I have chosen by the word istafa. After Ghadir, the word that He is using to describe Islam is with the word irtada. In other words, my brothers and sisters, if I can make it clear to you so you understand it. You see, the object of istafa, what is istafa is known as Mustafa. What is irtaza is known as Murtaza. In other words, before Ghadir, Allah said, Islam is Deen-e-Mustafa. After Ghadir, Allah is saying, Islam is Deen-e-Murtaza. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala.
And I want you to understand and make it clear to everyone that what Islam Allah is promising to establish in the world. He did not remember that Islam by the name of Mustafa. He said it's going to be Deen-e-Murtaza that will be established. So what does that mean? If Islam is prevailing throughout the world and the flag of Islam is saying La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulallah, then wait. That is not the promise of Allah. That is not the promise of Allah. Allah's promise will be fulfilled when that flag will also have Ali ibn Murtaza. Salam. Because the religion he promised to establish in the land must contain that imamat that he has established for the mankind. And you see, this is how Allah describes Islam in the Quran. He describes Islam in the Quran in this way, so that we understand that the Islam that will be established and the Islam that is regarded by Allah that He has chosen is known as Deen-e-Murtaza. And where Murtaza is, that is where that Islam is, which is going to be established. And those who are working for it, they are the ones who will be there to hold up that flag. My brothers and sisters, Islam is that deen, that message that Allah has given. And it came through Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt are the description of Islam. In all the findings, in all the research that one does, one thing is to really understand the truth and know it. And one thing is to live it and be it. My brothers, we understand the concepts. And if we are told, we will understand the concepts that Islam is trying to teach. But the question that comes in is between our understanding and that understanding becoming our life, how big a gap is there? You know, we hear of sacrifice and we speak of sacrifice. When we speak of sacrifice, we see that the examples we have, the examples of Ashura, the examples of the family of the Prophet, we see we have those examples of sacrifice and we speak of them, we know of them. But my brothers and sisters, in order for that to become a reality in our life, is something else. And that is known not by our claims, but by our decisions. The reality of who we are is known by our own decisions and our own actions that we have done. Let me give you an example so you understand. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. You know, we speak of Imam Hussein's sacrifice. Now even if you leave Imam Hussein, let's just come to his companions. Really, let's come to those people who are not masoom, nor were they raised in the homes of masoom. You know, when we always give the example of Ahlul Bayt, it seems like these are heavenly beings. A lot of people distance themselves in implementing their examples in their lives. But even when we give the example of the companions of Imam Hussein, when we give that example, it's easier for us to understand. Maybe that might help us to see ourselves and make that an image for our own self. When we look at it and see ourselves in that, we speak of the sacrifice they gave. The sacrifice came with their lives. Right? Now to be with the Imam, to be with Imam Hussein and in that place, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy to be there. Because a lot of times when we see our own self, it is enough for us to know that if you're not able to sacrifice our time to come and listen to the dhikr of Imam Hussein, if you're not able to sacrifice money to give to the mission of Imam Hussein, then far be it that we are going to sacrifice our lives and children for the Imam of the time. It won't happen by our claims. It's going to happen by our decisions and by the things that we do. What do we prefer over what? This is the reason on the day of Ghadir, the Prophet gave this command to the Muslim nation. And mark these words, what he said. He says, do not prefer anything over Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this is to build the character of believers. Why? Because whenever you see on one side of the issue is Ahlul Bayt, and on the other side is something else, then if you prefer something else over Ahlul Bayt, then that is a judgment on our own self and on our own faith. In order for us to really understand what that is and what that message is, we must start to practice it in our lives by preferring the message of Allah and Ahlul Bayt over everything else, whenever that conflict comes. More or so I will explain later, but just to give you this idea, as to what we will be discussing in the next 10 days. And this is something that we must be going through. Because when the time will come for you to leave your homes for Allah's sake, you see, one has to be habituated to be preferring Allah's path over other things. If that doesn't happen, then the Imam will be leaving his home, but you will not be ready to go with him. You see, the leaving of Imam Hussein from his home in Medina was not easy. No one likes to leave their hometown. No one likes to leave their home. That's the place where they find comfort. That's the place where they know the streets they walk on. That's the place where people know them. And you know, in the time of crisis, there will be those of your neighbors who will come forward to help you. It's not easy to leave your home. But if it's done for Allah's sake, then you see, that sacrifice was made by Imam Hussein. When Imam Hussein knew that he had to leave, he ordered his family to get ready and prepare themselves so that they can go, that they can leave. And after he gave that command, you see, now Imam Hussein went to the grave of his grandfather. Many things, I assume, had gone through the mind of Imam Hussein, went through his heart. But one of the things I am sure that he would have remembered is all the training that the Prophet had given to Imam Hussein to prepare him for this day. If you remember, Imam Hussein, when he made this journey, it wasn't just himself and his life and his training of others that prepared him for this. But truly, it was at first the Prophet of Allah who had prepared him for this journey and for this mission. Right from the early childhood, you see, Allah and the Prophet trained Imam Hussein. And I want you to see what training this was. They trained Imam Hussein for this mission. You know, there was a day of Eid. On the day of Eid, Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan were children. And all the children in Medina were getting ready for Eid. And Imam Hussein also wanted to get ready like the children are getting ready. So when the Prophet came by to pick them up in order to take them, you see, Imam Hussein, he asked the Prophet, said, "Grandfather, all the other children have rides, horses, camels that they are taking to go for the prayer. Where is my ride?" The Prophet said, "Son, I will be your ride." He put Imam Hussein on his shoulders. And then Imam Hussein said, "But all the rides have reins that I can hold. Kids are holding." to ride their horses. Where are my reins? The Prophet said, my dear Hussein, take my hair, hold it, and make that your reins. Imam Hussein took the hair of the Prophet and started to use it like a reins of a horse. The Prophet said, what else do you want, my son? He said, all the other horses, they are galloping. Why is my ride not galloping? And the Prophet started to walk faster. When he went to the masjid, when he came to the prayer place, Imam Hussein then said, I want to go back home now. So the Prophet went back. And then Imam Hussein said, now let me go back to the masjid. He went back again. And it is said in the hadith, in the riwayat, that he did it so many times that he was profusely perspiring. There was sweat that was pouring down from his forehead. He was visibly tired. And when Fatima saw that, he said, Hussein, why are you doing this to your grandfather? Don't you see that he is tired, that he is exhausted? The Prophet responded back to Fatima and said, Fatima, do not say anything to Hussein. I am training him for a day where the same Hussein will have to carry his loved ones on his back in order to save my religion. Hussein was trained by the Prophet. And Hussein now, as he sits near the grave of the Prophet, is speaking to the Prophet and thanking him for all the training that he has received and saying, my grandfather, now the time has come for that mission for which you have trained me for. Now the now the time is ready. This is the time for that mission for which you have raised me for. And so on one hand, Hussein, as he says his last farewell to the Prophet, As-salamu alayka ya jaddi ya Rasulallah. I bid farewell for you for a long period of time, because this ummah is going to take me away from you and I will be buried in another place. I'm leaving your hometown of Medina that gave life to your mission and your message, and that gave home to you to build a home in Karbala. So now, when Imam Hussein left there and he said his farewell to his grandfather, he walked back to his home and he ordered everyone, now is the time for us to get ready and go. His family is now leaving Medina with their hearts swollen with the grief of leaving their hometown and not knowing what will happen in the future. And so now Imam Hussein, as he goes forward, he gives his last orders, and he lets everyone know who is going to come and who is not going to come. And in the list of people of who is not going to come, there is this one daughter of Hussein by the name of Fatima Sughra. Imam Hussein's message and his orders are understood by everyone. And they knew that he is not allowing Fatima Sughra to come on board. Fatima Sughra knows this command and she is disheartened, and her heart is filled with pain of being away from her family. And so now Fatima al-Sughra soon starts to look at each other, look at others, as if she is telling them, please talk to my father on my behalf. Please tell him to take me. I can't be here alone. My loneliness would kill me. So now when she looks at everyone, she sees her brother Ali Asghar. She grabs hold of Ali Asghar in order that at least through him, Imam Hussein would take her. And she holds on to Ali Asghar when everyone is looking, when everyone is getting ready. She looks at them and says, please, can Ali Asghar stay with me? At least I will have some company. My brother will be here. I will take care of him. I will look after him. No harm will come to him. This is my brother. But then Imam Hussein says, Ali Asghar has a mission. He cannot be left alone. Ali Asghar came in the hands of Hussein. So now when that hope was also lost, now Sakina knew that Fatima al-Sughra knew that the only hope she has is with her aunt Zainab. So she goes to Zainab and says, my aunt, please go and tell my father. He listens to you. He respects you. Please go and tell him to take me, please, and say something on my behalf. Zainab went to Hussein and said to Hussein, that Hussein, why aren't you taking this girl? She will be left alone. She will be heartbroken. She will die in loneliness. No one is here. She wants to go along. And now you see Hussein's reply to Zainab. And Hussein, who was Imam of the time, Allah has given him the knowledge of what is to come and what will happen. Hussein knows. And Hussein says, my sister Zainab, do you want to know the reason why I'm leaving Fatima? This question of yours is making my heart bleed and my eyes are filled with tears just to imagine what is going to happen. I know what will happen. Just let me tell you, Zainab. Let me tell you one thing. You see, all my children are a replica, an image of my elders. All my children, the way Allah made them, they are an image of my elders. Ali Akbar is the image of my grandfather, Rasulullah. Fatima Kubra is the image of my mother, is the image of my father, Ali. And this Fatima Sughra, she is the image of my mother, Fatima Zahra. My Zainab, tell me, when you will be taken to the streets of Kufa and Sham, how can I, Hussein, even imagine to have the image of Fatima Zahra, for whom Ayat Tathir has come, for Allah has sent Ayat Tathir, how can I see her image on the roads of Kufa and Sham? Ajrakum Allah, may Allah reward you, my brothers and sisters. These tears that you shed, you don't know how precious these tears are for the Imam of the time. For Fatima al-Zahra, how precious these tears are, so that her child can be mourned, her child can be grieved upon and cried upon. And I'll tell you this, and imagine this, Imam Jafar Sadiq has said that when mourners, when people come together and cry for Imam Hussein, and they remember Imam Hussein and his martyrdom, and they remember the musibat and the hardship and afflictions that fell upon him, whenever they gather, Allah says 4,000 angels to cry with them. So you're not crying alone. There are angels here who have been appointed to cry with you. Now you see, now the time has come for them to get on. And you see, the way they have left Medina is so symbolic. And it's a way that shows who they were. They were from the family of the Prophet, the most respected family, the most respected genealogy, from the roots that came from Ruhul Qudus. This family came down, so pure and so clean this family was, that when the whole neighborhood was, no neighborhood was told that Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet, are coming out, they were told to stay in their homes. Abbas stood guard to watch on one side. Ali Akbar stood guard to watch on the other side. The youth of Bani Hashim, they brought out their ladies and every lady came upon them. Ibn Abbas said that I was watching Hussein. Hussein sat down as all these people were getting on their rides. Everyone was getting on their rides. Every lady would come forward, get on a camel. And then one lady, as she came forward, when she came out of the house, she was in hijab. No one could see her. But Hussein stood up in respect and he stood up in honor of that lady. I asked, who is this lady that came out? They said, this is the sister of Hussein, Zainab Kubra. She has come out. And when she came out in such a way that on one side, Abbas, and on the other side, Ali Akbar, and said, mother, come, I will put you on the ride. This was the way Zainab remembered leaving Medina. But then the same image came back to her when she was leaving Karbala. And now Abbas is not there. Ali Akbar is not there. Now Zainab stands before her ride, no hijab on her head, surrounded by enemies, and said, where are you, my Abbas? Where are you, my Ali Akbar? Where are you, oh, the lights of the Prophet's house?
يا محمود بحق محمد يا علا بحق علي يا فاطمة السماوات بحق فاطمة يا محسن بحق يا سنة غد مرحبا give us the توفيق to be on the right path give us the wisdom to understand your guidance